How ignorant am I of Intel Corp? Let me count the ways. Today's show is about Apple's new best friend, which apparently popped out some disappointing quarterly earnings this week. Does it matter? No, I'm serious. I don't know whether it matters. I mean it. I don't know anything about Intel. Today is April 25th, 2006, and this is the Weekly Roundup, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can always visit the show notes at macobserver.com/roundup. We carried a couple short stories regarding Intel this week, but frankly, they didn't explain very much. This show is going to be so full of context, it's going to be like artichoke paste on a chip. That's as close as I'm getting to the pun. Intel Corp. announced its quarterly earnings on Wednesday, noting its largest decline in profits in over 4 years. According to Bloomberg, the computer chip maker reported a 38% drop in profits. Net income fell to $1.4 billion U.S., down from $2.9 billion for the same quarter last year. Sales were down 5.2% overall at $9 billion, coming in under analyst estimates. American technology research analyst Doug Friedman commented, "I still have my concerns that the company is going to run into some problems in the back half of the year," and rated Intel shares as a hold. Intel stock closed the week at $19.06 a share, down about 50 cents. Intel is the world's largest microprocessor maker with a market capitalization of $112 billion U.S. If you want to learn more about Intel, I've linked the company's earnings report and its Wikipedia entry over at the show notes. I also linked to a great Motley Fool piece about Intel as a stock pick for those who are more interested in the Wall Street angle on things. Also in Intel-related news, AMD last week filed a subpoena seeking Microsoft documents that said it will assist with its antitrust suit against Intel. AMD is hoping to find information about the company's marketing plans as well as anything related to 64-bit microprocessors. A Microsoft spokeswoman said that her company will comply with the request. Intel had no comment, while AMD said that it's simply looking for the same type of documents it's already requested from other companies. Some of those firms are resisting the requests. AMD is seeking proof that Intel illegally pressured retailers and computer makers into giving preference to it over the competition. The competition, naturally, is AMD. Now, before we get to the context machine, Apple also announced its quarterly earnings Wednesday afternoon, and investors were focused on the impact the Intel switch was having on the company's bottom line. Late Wednesday, we published extensive coverage of Apple's second quarter 2006 financial results, which I've linked to in the show notes. In order to zero in on Intel, we'll skip over most of the details. For those of you familiar with Apple, you'll probably be able to digest this info as I spout it off. For the rest of you, well, you know, stick with me, kids. You'll catch on sooner or later. Now, Apple's financial results in 10 seconds or less. The company had revenue of $4.3 billion U.S. and profits of $410 million. Apple sold a hefty 1.1 million Macs. iPod sales were at the low end of the consensus estimates at 8.5 million unit ships. More than 50 million iPods have been shipped to date. Half of Apple's revenue came from its music division. Apple CFO said the company is seeing consumers delay their computer purchases in order to wait for new Intel-based models. But on the plus side, about half of the Apple Store customers are first-time Mac buyers. Oh, and here's a big surprise. Apple execs were saying we're seeing a high level of interest in boot camp. Did I make it? Oh, and industry watchers remain totally convinced that Apple's going to release a cell phone by the end of the year. Not my problem till it actually happens. Apple stock closed the week at $66.97 a share. So the thing about Intel, we don't know that much about it. The fact is, it's not, as topics go for the Mac web, something that we deal with very often, but Jeff Gamet and I are going to do our best job to put some context behind these two little stories that we ran this week. So Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, and I'm sure today will be an adventure.
Now, Mac observers, like I said, they're generally pretty comfortable dealing with Apple's financial results. We've seen a lot of them before. We see, you know, this many iPods got sold. We see this much in revenue. And I think a lot of Mac observers say, oh, okay, I kind of understand where that falls in the grand scheme of things, more or less, or I understand why that's affected by product timing and all this other stuff. So this week, Intel comes out with financial results. Everyone says, oh, they're lousy financial results. And if you haven't been following the company or aren't familiar with what its results have looked like in the past or maybe what its product roadmap has been and will be, it's really hard to contextualize it. So let's start with the most basic question. So in their results, they apparently had their worst quarterly contraction in profits in 4 years. They still made money, but they made less money. The amount of money that they made grew less than it has in the last 4 years. So when I say it like that, it sounds pretty bad. But Intel is still the biggest chip maker in the world. It's still a huge company with a ton of customers. So let's start small, first of all. Why the drop in profits? What is the problem here for Intel?
Well, I think the drop in profits comes from several things. One is that they're seeing a lot more competition from AMD, which is a competing PC chip maker. We're also seeing a weaker market for PC sales on the Windows side. And we also have the first time, we're also seeing the first time Intel has included their option statements in their reports. So when you put those things together, it has a bigger impact on their bottom line. However, it's important to keep in mind that Intel isn't losing money. They're just not making as much money comparatively each quarter as they were before.
All right. Now, in the past, if Apple has had a bum quarter, there was a quarter a few years back when Apple actually had a loss for the quarter, and the execs came out at the conference call and they said, you know, this is what happened. We had this issue. This is how we dealt with it. And I think the phrase they used was, we took our medicine, right? We did whatever we had to. We got rid of our inventory glut. I think that was the problem. And now we're going to shape up. Now we're going to be all set going forward. Can you make the same argument with Intel here? Is this a temporary thing? Is it obvious what the problem is and it's obvious that they're fixing it? Or is there something fundamental, kind of operational about the company that's causing problems?
Actually, I think your analogy to Apple is really good. And I think that's exactly what's happening here right now. Intel has ended up in a position where they have a glut of chips and they know it. And after their earnings report came out, the president of the company came forward and said that they're analyzing the inner workings of their company. They're already taking steps to streamline their production process. And I think the quote from Mr. Ottolini was along the lines of, their goal is to significantly increase their efficiency in 2007. I think that's close to what he said. So yeah, Intel is doing exactly what Apple did before. They're taking their medicine and it's going to get better.
Now there's a quote that I brought up earlier. An ATR analyst said he believes that Intel might run into some problems in the back half of 2006. My best attempt at interpreting that I found this Motley Fool article, which is terrific, that I'm linking to in the show notes. It points out that Intel has $3.6 billion in inventory. Is that when these analysts talk about might run into some problems at the end of 2006, is that because, are they talking about the inventory problems?
I think the inventory problems are likely to be part of the issue. And I think competition with AMD is the other aspect that they're looking at.
All right. Now, Apple watchers have been really fired up about the company's product line in the past while, for the past few years. The Intel transition has been a really big deal. Mac OS X in general has been a very popular operating system among the user base. The iPod and iTunes, obviously, for people that have been familiar with Apple before, it's really exciting to see Apple in the lead in some market. Now that's in really sharp contrast to how people felt about Apple's products, you know, back in the mid-90s. So there's this storyline that Apple watchers have about the products themselves that Apple has, in contrast to how they felt about them in the past. Let's see if we can find some similar story with Intel. Is there Is there a story here that we can use to contextualize its place in terms of the products that it offers? You know, among people who are following the company, are people really excited about Intel's products right now?
I think some people are excited. I will openly admit I'm excited about what Intel has coming down the line. And I think that translates into a lot of excitement about the upcoming products from Apple.
Now, we talked a little bit in previous shows about things that Intel was releasing, some chips that it had coming down the pipe. Is that what you're talking about, these new dual-core and quad-core chips that they're lining up?
Yes, the Conroe chip, which is likely to be the processor that ends up in the replacement for the PowerMac G5. And that, you know, it's going to be an exciting product, which we might even see earlier than originally announced. And yeah, it'll be great because we'll be able to get back to the 64-bit processor for the Mac. We'll have these new high-power, low-energy consumption chips. And I think looking forward, we're going to see some innovative things from Intel on the portable chip side too.
Now, here's a question since you brought this up. Let's go on a slight tangent here. After the release of the PowerPC, this is the G5, Mac users started to get it in their heads that they'd be working on a 64-bit platform. And of course, Steve Jobs made a very big deal. Oh, it was first consumer product that's truly 64-bit and so forth. Now, currently, the Intel Core Duo and all the other chips that we see in Macs right now, those are 32-bit chips, right? So you're saying that Conroe is a 64-bit architecture?
Yes. So what we have right now is the phase into the really high-powered, the really high-powered Intel chips, the 64-bit chips. And Steve Jobs' promise of 64-bit computing, I think, is only a few months away right now with the release of Conroe. So yes, Mac users have become accustomed to the idea of having a 64-bit computing platform, and we'll see that delivered later this year.
All right. Now, a lot of big American firms, when you look at the landscape of American of corporate America, you can get this impression of aging giants, of these enormous stagnant operations. Some of the best examples are probably, frankly, out of Detroit, GM and Ford. but in technology, I think a lot of people have had that impression of IBM, that eventually had to go and sell its PC operations. And of course, Mac users in particular tend to have this opinion of Microsoft, that it's too big, that it's incapable of moving or innovating or doing anything creative. There might be a temptation, I think, particularly for Mac users, because we've always seen Intel as part of the other platform, to imagine them as part of this category of aging giants, of aging corporations that are too big to do anything productive. Is it fair to view Intel in that way?
At the risk of having many hardcore Mac fans flame my email, I'm going to say that's not fair at all. And I think Intel has a historic trend of being very innovative. The problem is a lot of people don't realize it because they don't see these other innovations that Intel comes up with. As an example, if you were to crack open a Mac going back years, you would find chips with an Intel logo on them for different subsystems. And a lot of people don't realize that USB is an Intel innovation. And in fact, Intel couldn't get other computer manufacturers to even consider the USB interface. So they finally went to Apple. They flipped over the idea. It ended up in the first iMac. And now USB is ubiquitous. So, you know, that's another example. Intel is working on their 65 nanometer chip process, meaning they can make smaller chips that run more efficiently. And that's what we're going to see in Conroe, which is the chip likely to be in the G5 PowerMac replacement. And we're going to see that in other upcoming chips too, which may end up like in the Xserve and other upcoming Mac products.
Fair enough. So ultimately, if I were to ask you, just put this quarter in context. How does this quarter's results fall inside of Intel's larger story? What's the short answer to that question?
I think this is a quarter where Intel is readjusting how everything works for them, and we're seeing an impact on their bottom line, and that impact will go away. Things will get better.
Fair enough. And let's talk about, just briefly before we go, I mentioned this lawsuit against Intel brought by AMD. Now, AMD is suing Intel for anti-competitive practices, saying that Intel is forcing its products on computer makers, boxing AMD out of the market. First of all, can we get a sense of the conventional wisdom about this suit? Do we have any idea whether or not AMD has a case?
Well, considering that the whole Intel world is new to Mac users, I haven't had much time to do a lot of research on this specifically. However, what I have seen so far leads me to believe that Intel may not be completely right with this lawsuit. And I'm basing that on the fact that one of the impacts on Intel's quarterly profit was competition from AMD. There's also the fact that AMD came to market first with a dual-core chip. I mean, they beat Intel at their own game on that one. And there's companies like everyone's favorite computer manufacturer, Dell. I'm sure I'll get an email from someone about that. Dell has threatened before to abandon the Intel chips for their computers in order to get better pricing. So, you know, there's things like this that are going on that make me question whether or not AMD's case is valid. Now, I'm sure that there has to be evidence out there that Intel has been strong-arming companies into using their chips over AMD's. Otherwise, the case wouldn't be able to get far enough along so that they've actually set court dates.
Yeah, so the bottom line here is that at least, the two of us, it's always important to, I think, make it clear when we don't know stuff about what's going on. This is an area where I think we and the Mac web at large is probably pretty unfamiliar. The politics and the movement of product among the PC manufacturers, this is something that we don't deal with a lot and something that we can go and try and sort out. Now, we're talking about AMD and talking about competition with AMD. You're citing that as one of the reasons that Intel is having problems. When you talk about Intel reorganizing and getting back on its feet and getting focused in 2007, one of the issues in doing that will clearly be, it's not just about, you know, streamlining inventory or changing the way things work internally. It's also about competition. Do we have any reason to believe that Intel will be competitive with AMD, will continue to be competitive with AMD, will release products before them, release better products? Do we have any sense on how that's going to work in the future?
Based on what I've seen so far, keeping in mind that the whole Intel world is still relatively new to people like us, my guess is that we will see healthy competition between the two companies. We will see situations where Intel releases a chip first, and then we'll see other times where AMD releases the chip first. I think we're going to see innovation from both companies, and I think ultimately that will be a really good thing for us as Mac users, because having both of these companies in a healthy competition to get the best and most innovative product to market first ultimately translates to more options for us.
And you're saying this because, if I'm not mistaken, the transition, if Apple decided Intel isn't playing this game well, we'd rather be working with AMD, the transition from Intel architecture to AMD architecture should be minimal, shouldn't it?
It should be very minimal. Now, there might be issues that come up with that because Intel is helping Apple so much with the overall architecture of the motherboard for the Mac. So not only do you have the Intel Core Duo processor right now, but you have a lot of other sub-architecture pieces that go along with that. So sure, there could be some issues doing a transition, but overall, it would not be that big of a deal, and it certainly wouldn't be as monumental a transition as going, say, from a 68040 to a PowerPC chip, or a PowerPC to an Intel chip.
So it wouldn't be trivial, but it wouldn't, for example, require that developers recompile all of their applications again.
Correct.
Fair enough. And that's going to have to be the last word. Jeff, thanks so much for coming here and trying to help clear this up for all of us.
I'm always happy to muddle through things with you.
Cheers. If you have questions about the news, or if there's, I really mean this, people, if there's someone that you'd like to hear from in the Context Machine, let me know. Seriously. You want me to interview someone? I mean, name Gene Munster, Bill Gates, Walt Mossberg. You know, hey, it'll never happen unless you ask. My email is roundup@macobserver.com. Now, as usual, let's do the product roundup. Apple announced on Friday that it's launching a free computer recycling service in June. It'll be available to anyone that buys a new Mac through Apple's online or retail store. The company picks up the shipping and disposal costs. All computers received through the program are recycled domestically, and no hazardous materials are shipped overseas. Fast Mac announced that it has a full line of replacement batteries for the PowerBook and iBook product lines. The new TruePower high-capacity batteries offer up to 56% longer run times than the batteries that originally shipped with the laptops. The TruePower battery should be shipping in the next 2 weeks and are available for pre-order now. The batteries are priced from $100 to $120 US. Digital Foci has introduced Memory Card Gateway, a $20 USB flash memory card reader and writer that's compatible with Compact Flash Type 1 and 2, MicroDrive, Smart Media, Multimedia Card, SD, the Secure Digital SD Card, Mini SD, Memory Stick Pro, Duo, and Pro Duo, and Magic Gate MS. A mouthful. And finally this week, Misha Saglaropoulou reviewed the iPod docking speaker system, iCarrier Hi-Fi, and the Scuba MP3 suitcase for the iPod. And that's the news. Thanks for listening to the Weekly Roundup. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO. Stay subscribed, and until next week, we'll see you online.
So we lived through it.
We did.
And hopefully we don't sound too ignorant.